Shabbat Shalom. This week's Torah, this reading for the Torah portion is entitled Vahekana, meaning I pleaded, which is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 23 through chapter 7, verse 11. We open as Moses reviews in retrospect how Adonai refused his request to be allowed to cross over the Jordan and enter Canaan. Moses' deepest longing was to see the God of Israel glorified and to again witness his mighty hand. It is sadder than sad when you think how Moses glorified Adonai every day of his redeemed life, except at the waters of Meribah. Adonai said to Moses and Aaron, "You did not trust me enough to honor me and show the people that I am holy. You did not show the people that the power to make the water came from me. So you will not lead the people into the land that I have given them." Numbers 20 and 12. Also, the mantle of leadership was passed from Moses to Joshua. Moses was summoned to Mount Pisgah, where he was allowed to view the promised land and then to die. Chapter 4 unfolds with Moses giving the nation a stern exhortation to obedience. The people were exhorted to recollect how Adonai had destroyed the ungodly that were among them and how he had preserved all those who were faithful. The Israelites were told of the excellence of the divine decrees that Adonai had given them. Moses pointed out that no nation in existence could boast of any such covenants, laws, precepts, statutes, judgments, commandments, or having God so near. Moses urged Israel to obey God's word and reminded them that God's word was their wisdom, power, and protection. The lawgiver predicts the judgments of Adonai against them should they turn to idolatry. He reminds the people again of God's mercy to all who repent and turn back unto him. Moses asked the Israelites the sobering questions. Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as they had heard and lived? Deuteronomy 4 and 33. Now, it was a general thought that if God appeared to men, it was for the purpose of destroying them. Most of the extraordinary manifestations of God were in the way of judgment. Israel heard the voice of God speaking to them in a distinct, articulate manner. They saw the fire, the symbol of his presence. God appeared to them, yet no person was destroyed. He came not to destroy, but to save. And Adonai instructed Moses to set up three sanctuary cities east of the Jordan. Chapter 5, Moses repeats the Ten Commandments, the basis of God's moral law. Israel was to hear, learn, keep, and do these laws. And in obeying the laws, they would be honoring Adonai and ensuring Israel's success. Just as Israel received the commandments twice, I believe today that every redeemed soul receives two servings of the law. First, we stand under the law to be judged, condemned, and hemmed into Messiah as our only hope. What the law says is for those who are under the law. It stops anyone from making excuses, and it brings the whole world under God's judgment because no one can be made right with keeping the law and following God. The law only shows us our sins, Romans 3, 19 and 20. But secondly, we receive the law only now it is seasoned with grace. And through faith in Messiah, now asking that the Holy Spirit should write his laws in our hearts, and to empower us to walk in true obedience. God's grace gives us the power to do what truth demands. Moses conveys to the Israelites that the law is perfect and that it is written in stone and therefore is permanent. Now remember, Yeshua is the word of God, and it is only by Yeshua's shed blood that our salvation is made possible. And we would do well to remember that when the conscience has not learned the efficiency of the blood of Yeshua, it shrinks from contact from God's holiness. Chapter 6. In a continuation of the same subject as the former, Moses, the man of God, is exceedingly earnest in enforcing obedience to all the Israelites. And I will also point out that in this, the great Shema, in this chapter, "Hear ye, O Israel," is also contained. Chapter 7. Having reminded the people of the events of the past, Moses now warns them of the perils of the future. For centuries, Israel was a slave nation, and for 40 years, it had been a pilgrim people. Now the people were to settle down in their own land, so they needed to be aware of the dangers that would come with this new environment. It was God's purpose to drive out the heathen nations and establish Israel in Canaan. But he had to warn Israel to destroy these nations and in no way compromise with them. Moses' argument in this passage is simple. Israel is God's chosen people, separated from all other nations. God chose them because he loved them and proved his love by bringing them out of Egypt and faithfully caring for them in the wilderness. The principle of separation runs throughout scripture. God separated the light from the darkness, Genesis 1 and 4. He commanded Israel to be separate from other nations, Exodus 34, 11 through 16. He commanded the church to be separated from the world, 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Today, we live in a time when the church and the world are so mingled that it is difficult to really tell who belongs to Messiah. Closing thoughts. The scripture says that these things were written for our benefit and that Moses wrote of Messiah. Just as Adonai delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage, so Yeshua's death was our pathway out of the darkness and into his light. He broke our bonds of sin, hell, death, and the grave. Moses paid a price for not sanctifying Adonai. For us, disobedience, rebellion, and not serving and glorifying God will keep us from entering his blessed eternal kingdom. Precious Father, we Vahakana plead to you. Please give us hearts worthy of sanctifying, glorifying, worshiping, and serving you. Please allow Messiah to be formed in us in a larger and saving way. Oh, Lord, our God, please forgive us, help us, save us, deliver us, and give us your atonement. Shabbat shalom.